one day without meat and crackers and I'm back to normal? That just seemed a little bit out of the ordinary.
This is Dad Pants. Why do I keep telling you that this is Dad Pants? You already know that. Why not just start by saying hello? Hello? Stuart here. And with me is Monty. Monty, you got any thoughts on why I keep starting the pod like that?
No, but there's a lot of that in the world, like unnecessary kind of use of that kind of stuff. Like, hi, you're watching the 5 o'clock news, and it's like, I know what I'm watching. Like,
hey,
I know what I've clicked on.
This is Joe Rogan. This is the Joe Rogan podcast. Is it? Is it the thing that I've already pressed?
Have you contemplated maybe starting it by saying this is the Joe Rogan podcast for dad pants? Like, see if we can trick people into thinking they're listening to the Rogan podcast when they're listening to us.
Oh, well, if only there was some tech way we could do that, eh? I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if I could pull off being that meat-headed in the hope of getting his listeners, you know?
I'm sure you could.
Thanks. All right.
Yeah, I think you could do a fake meathead pretty good. That's just Stallone. You're just doing Stallone at the moment.
Sorry, but Stallone chuffing, that's where the sound was at the end there.
Oh, I see. Do you think the Rocky movies would have been more fun if Apollo Creed had died in the first one and he was only fighting his ghost in the following ones? I heard this post somewhere the other day.
Sure. What kind of ghost rules are we working to here, though? Is it just you can't touch them, or are they made of kind of ectoplasm? What works best in the script?
That is an interesting question. That's an interesting question. Surely you would have to be able to touch them, or the boxing fights just...
But that might be the zany comedy Stallone of the movie. Air swinging.
Stallone getting more and more tired, punching through a...
Yeah,
that's good. That's actually kind of funny.
And Apollo just leaning against the ropes, smoking.
What are your ghost rules? If you had to have ghost rules, like, can ghosts go through doors?
Well, I think my ghost rule is if they can pick stuff up, you should be able to hit them. You know what I mean?
That's good. That's a good ghost rule. Yeah.
How come they're allowed to manipulate objects but can't be manipulated? That's like either we can't hit them.
Can't have it one way and not the other.
Either we can't hit them, but they don't get to pick stuff up. Or if they pick stuff up, we get to, you know, be able to do some damage.
Well, interesting thought there then. Okay, so say you see a ghost and we're living in the can't pick up world. We're in under those ghost rules. So we can't hit them. If you hit them, you go through it.
Yeah.
Are they wearing clothes?
Tell me how the two are related.
Well, are they ghost clothes?
Oh, how did they put clothes on?
Yeah. Or do they have to, like, yeah, like, are they?
I always thought
clothes can't become ghosts.
Yeah, no, I understand. I always just thought that was kind of a literary convention and a convention for films and TV and so on. Every ghost is naked in my mind.
Wow. Okay, naked ghosts. That's scarier.
But exactly for the reason you said, clothes don't die. And become ghosts.
No, clothes can't come back from the dead,
exactly.
Can they?
That's so interesting. Yeah, every ghost must be naked, and I assume they just put ghost clothes on them for the sake of decency in movies.
That's really interesting, and I think a really good, you could use that as a dad thing. If your children ever get scared about ghosts, remind them, well, it's not a real ghost unless it's naked. But then that brings up a whole new issue, I suppose. But
also,
maybe that's where that white sheet stuff comes from. Maybe it's just a real white person.
No, but then you're living back in the world of ghosts can pick stuff up.
Well, no, what I meant was that someone had confused just a very pale ghost for a white sheet.
I see. But I think a naked ghost is less scary than a clothed ghost, because, you know, a clothed ghost is, it's not real. Like, it's not a clothed ghost can pick stuff up, which means you can hit it. Naked ghost, it can't touch anything, so it can't hit you.
This is one of the weirder intros to Dad Pants as yet.
Well, it didn't get very far into Dad Gear, did we?
Well, It's all really dad gear, isn't it, I suppose?
It's all relative. If you say that, that just justifies any rambling you do.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening in your young parenting life at the moment?
Not too much. Augie's doing not the best sleeps at the moment, but we kind of go from terrible night to okay night occasionally. Mm. So we feel like we're on the right path, but it sucks.
It must feel a bit like Groundhog Day for you, though, because it's been this way for a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going on about 2 weeks or so that we've had the bad nights. It is feeling a bit Groundhog Day-ish. Mm. And we can see a new problem right around the corner. Or
naked ghosts.
Naked ghosts is one of them, but this is more of a tooth-related issue. Oh. It seems like she's getting ready to erupt a few teeth.
Huh. Is that early? I don't remember. I see. You forget so quickly.
You do forget so quickly. It is on the earlier side, but it's not that early. It's like between 4 to 8 months is when you start getting them, and she's 4 months.
Okay, yeah, right. So she's just straight in the zone with it.
Yeah, toothy zone.
Let me ask you, have you had any blowback re your strong poop in fresh bin stands?
I haven't had any blowback, but I've had some supporters. I was speaking to a room of people about it yesterday, and everyone was like, if you haven't taken your bin in, I completely agree. It's your fault you haven't brought your bin in. And on bin night, of course it's not a problem because it's going to get collected.
Who are these panderers you were talking to?
Various friends and family.
Oh, you just collect people sycophantic to your I'll put my poop where I want cause, and you only choose to socialize with them. Is that the story?
Yeah, pretty much it. Yeah. So again, you think it's not the way to go?
No, I don't think. And we saw an article in the paper on the weekend where someone wrote in for advice on that very topic, and they got slapped down. Saying
they got slapped down.
You don't do it. So who are these people? Are they like from a wide cross section of society, all agreeing? Yes, a fresh, pristine, empty bin is just the receptacle for your stinky old dog shit.
No, but also the people I've spoken to, not many, I must admit, but have said it is their fault for not taking the bin in. You can't do it the morning of clean bin, but the evening of a clean bin, you can.
Who are these bin Nazis determining, you know, after a certain point?
It seems as if in this whole scenario, you're the bin Nazi.
How am I?
Telling me what can or cannot go into the bins.
We live in a free society. People shouldn't have to, leave work to get home by a certain time, lest their bin be bombarded with turds.
We live in a free society. I shouldn't have to find my own garbage receptacle to put turds in.
Well, I don't know that that's a definition of a free society. We live in a free society, sure, but there are also societal etiquettes to follow.
Yeah, etiquettes, not laws, etiquettes.
Right. So, you know, you putting your turd, not your turd, excuse me, although that's probably next, let's face it.
Yeah, sure is.
Your dog's turd in someone's bin might just be the tipping point before we fall into complete societal chaos.
Are you familiar with the lifestyle / governance style communism?
I have heard of such a thing, yes.
In that kind of society, it'd be fine to put your poop in anyone's bin.
Right. So are you trying to suggest that rather than just laziness of you not wanting to hold a bag a bit longer, you're trying to initiate some new governmental systems?
Well, it actually brings up an interesting point. Do you own your bin?
You got me there. I don't know.
I know, right? I assume if you do.
Well, we don't, because when you leave the bin here, right?
Absolutely, right? That's a good point. But also, when you leave, you don't take your house with you.
Right.
So maybe it's part of the house sale. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not, which it is your house.
Yeah. So what point were you trying to make?
If it's government owned and local government controlled, why would it differ putting it in someone else's to mine?
Well, again, because maybe that person has chosen not to be a dog owner and doesn't want shit in their bin all week.
This is actually a really interesting thing. Do you own the garbage? When do you stop owning garbage?
Well, according to you, it's whenever you throw it into someone else's bin.
Well, what about when you throw it into your bin? I wonder, because if you don't own your bin, do you own your garbage once it's gone in there?
We may be going too far down a rabbit hole here, Monsi.
Well, to be fair, you brought this up again.
I did. I just wanted to know if anyone had said you're a dickhead for throwing your poo in other people's bins.
People agree with me. I'm going to look it up. I'm going
to
find out.
Apparently, you went to a bar, announced your stance to the bar, and the bar, as one, agreed with you and pledged to fill up non-believers' bins with turds forevermore. Is that what happened?
I think you're pretty much onto it, yeah. I'm very interested about who owns garbage now, though.
These people who agree with you. Who are these people?
What is your problem with having someone else's poop in your bin?
I think my problem is more with the extreme hardline attitude of I decide when you take your bin inside, and if you don't take your bin inside by the time I've decided it's okay, I'm going to befoul your bin with my dog's waste.
Well,
it's the attitude more that I'm concerned with.
Well, you're not going to like this because after our conversation today, my attitude is changing too. If your bin is out at any time, I think it's fair game. The problem with putting it in a bin in someone's house is that you are trespassing. You're going onto their property. If we come to the realization and conclusion that the whole garbage system is not ours, but it is something offered to us for our tax paying, then the fact that I put my garbage in a different bin once it's out in public space shouldn't cause any kind of issues.
Well, yeah, you're talking legally. By the sounds of it, we're talking societal etiquette wise, remember?
Well, if we don't have laws, what do we have?
Well, probably agreed upon conventions whereby.
Sounds like laws, punishable by imprisonment.
Well, no, you know that full well that no one's gone to prison for a bag of shit in a bin.
Which makes me feel all the better about it.
But you can turn a society against you. Well, I suppose not. I guess I'm in the wrong, you know. You're just holding rallies, it would seem now, of like-minded people.
Like a crystal kind of night kind of thing.
Well, I was thinking more of a Trump rally, but sure.
May as well
it's go. It's a real Trumpy attitude, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
I put my dog's poo in whoever's been alike. You just grab them by the bins. They just let you. They just let you put the poo right in there.
Okay.
That's decent, Trump.
I went off the rails pretty quickly. It started okay, but by the end there, it just sounded like I was constipated. Ironically, instead of going over what we talked about in last week's episode, shall we get into some fresh stuff with the Pants Panel?
But I'm really interested now, though. Who does own your garbage? It might be one of those really weird things where it's like an annex of government property on your own house in kind of bin shape that once you put something in that bin, it might not be yours anymore.
No, surely it's yours until the point of collection because let's say your bin gets knocked over before the truck comes.
Yep.
It's on you to clean that up off the street, surely.
Here you go. Listen to this. I've got a fucking answer for you and I win. Fuck you all. While you might think that rubbish is rubbish, it does have a legal owner. And exactly who that is depends on where the bin is located. The contents of someone's bin is the legal possession of the property owner when on private land and of council when on the curbside for collection.
So at the point of wheeling it out, that's when it changes hands, the ownership of the garbage.
Yeah, and thus, if I were to put my dog poop in any random bin on the street, I'm pretty much just using a council bin.
Yeah, again, we're not challenging the legality of it. We're challenging the morals of it. Morals.
Because I'll see you in court.
Morals, Monty.
Really interesting.
All right, I failed first time round throwing to the Pants Panel. I'm really winding back now for a big throw to them. You ready, Monty?
I'm ready. That's a weird throw sound, but I like it.
Well, How's everyone going? Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
Oh, we're having a hard time with my baby daughter at the moment.
Yes. I don't really know what to do about that. I feel we've run the gamut of advice we can give on that.
I think it's just one of the ones at the moment. We just got to bloody stick it out. But it's all good. She's happy. She just can't stay asleep.
No sleep. Let's not let anyone behind the curtain that the pants panel hasn't been able to fix something. I mean, Jesus.
I think that if you don't bury her in the back garden, you're doing well. That was pretty much the best advice.
Yeah.
Thank you. I haven't done that.
Our family's 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Well, we've had a bit of a tension in the house, like literally a minute before recording. So I'm in a great mood. This is great.
Oh, no.
What happened with yours? Because I had tension too, but mine was just didn't want to sleep. Mine's the same old, so it's boring.
Just the asking repeatedly for simple things to be done and getting attitude for simply doing the job of parenting, which is required. And just, reaching a certain point where you've had about as much of that repeatedly every night as you're going to take. Anyway.
Hear that one. I hear it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So loud.
I don't get that one yet. I will one day. Not yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm fed up with that you guys can probably relate to? And I think it takes it back to one of our very first episodes. You know who's fucking shit these days? Fucking weathermen. They have no fucking idea what's going on. They tell me it's going to rain all week. It's not going to rain all week. They tell me it's not going to rain. It does fucking rain.
I'm waiting for the dots to be joined between what we were saying and that.
Anger.
Oh, okay. Anger.
Frustration.
He can't be angry at his child. So he's got to go outward to the second thing he loves, the second only to his child, and that's weathermen.
Yes.
Weather people.
The meteorology profession.
But I think they're intentionally doing it because they've been made redundant by the bomb app.
Yes.
Oh, but the bomb app's shit too. It's fucking wrong.
Oh, hey.
It's just
You've had a hard time and you're lashing out.
That's a man
rain
with no
radar
sleep.
Is fine. The rain radar tells you where it's raining and where it has been raining. Any
I know you're upset now, so I pretend you can say that.
But like everyone's been getting it so wrong, right? I have had a theory that the meteorologists of Sydney, at least, are in bed with big COVID, and they're trying to stop people getting together in outdoor groups together too much. So they're saying it's going to rain on the weekend, even when it doesn't.
Is big COVID pro COVID or anti COVID?
Thank you, Buckland. I don't know yet.
But
investigating.
It's big COVID protocol.
Am I not the only one to think that they've been getting it very wrong lately, the weathermen?
I think that's been a running joke for years that they rarely get it right, isn't it? I'm more interested in the idea of we know that having a weather person on your news broadcast is pretty redundant, but why is no one brave enough to say we're done with the weather person?
I don't know.
Have a 3-minute segment where there's a title on the screen that says look at your bomb app.
QR code that takes you to the bomb app.
Open your app.
Someone's gonna be brave enough someday to do it. Anyway,
we need more sport. That's what we need.
Shall we start? We're action packed here. Like we've got a packed sheet here. I've made the mistake again of filling it up. So should we at least attempt it?
Okay.
Hello everybody. It's Dad Pants time. Cranky Dad Stu here. How is everyone else going?
All right.
I'm pretty good. I'm back to work, stressed dad.
Oh, you've been holiday dad though.
I've been holiday dad, so I've got some great holiday thoughts about being a dad. But now that I've been back at work for a couple of days, it's starting to the luster of holidays has really sort of started to dim, which is,
it's a quick fade. Another week and the nostalgia will return.
Oh, I hope so.
I think the thing about holidays is you're on them as a parent, and we've talked about this, how you don't have a holiday, but then as soon as you come back from holidays, you can't, you pine for it, even though you realize it wasn't much of a holiday.
Oh, look, I'm going well. Thanks for asking, everybody. I'm pretty happy with
Why are you cranky, Stu? No, why are you cranky? That was the first thing you said to us. Straight off the cup, cranky.
Well, insert harp sound effect here, and you can. I'll just cut in what I said before. But I'll tell you what's nullifying that a little. I'm a bit happy with a Facebook post in my local community group that I put out there, a bit of a dad whinge. It's got, you know, 160-odd likes so far, fellas. I'm pretty...
You put out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. In the local group. I feel I'm probably a bigger influencer than Ben now.
Yeah. What was it about? Was it like supermarkets closing or not letting you know or
overknowing? It was about
roundabouts.
It was complaining about the number of real estate flyers I found in my letterbox.
Oh, that's a good one.
So maybe not strictly daddish, but I felt pretty daddish.
Haven't you stepped your daddish up? Don't you have a sign that says no junk mail?
I don't know. Oh,
come on now. I mean, that's should be.
Is that daddish? It feels like kind of like 80s granola parents to me.
That's very specific.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like kind of quite lefty, kind of left the commune kind of vibe 80s parents to have a no. I don't know why I've got that vibe, but that feels like a no junk mail to me.
I live in a cul-de-sac at the top of a kind of steepish hill. I thought I was safe, but I was very wrong.
Oh, they will drive up there.
No one invade your ivory tower up there, Buckland. Is that what you're... I'm just imagining the castle looking down over the common folk.
Away with you.
Now be gone.
Well, it is a little, but...
Have you had to shoo a real estate agent away from your front door yet?
No.
I've heard if you bang pots together out the front, they'll go away.
But my concern is
the hounds with bees in their mouth, eh?
My concern is more like I found 7 real estate flyers in the letterbox, right? Do they think people don't know about the internet? Like people can look at houses on the internet. Everyone knows that, don't they? Do they think there's a certain percentage of people that don't?
Well, look, there is the old school, like the granolas, that do like to have a flick through the pamphlet.
I just don't know. I think even old people are aware that there's probably real estate sites on the internet, right? And that you don't have to just sit there in the hope that a flyer that matches your particular needs comes through your letterbox.
Well, I'll have to wait till next week's flyers.
Nothing this week. No houses.
I should start a dad group now called the Crunchy Granola Suite. That's amazing.
I wanted to just check in and say this isn't a bit, but the old Jehovah's Witness door knockers, I mean, they got shut down by COVID. We got, it's the first time ever, a Jehovah's Witness letter drop.
I
thought you were going to say they crashed into a Zoom meeting or something.
No, a handwritten letter.
Yeah, we've had that.
Handwritten as well.
Yeah. Handwritten? Is it handwritten?
By the hand of God?
Photocopy?
A4. No, I tried to check. I wanted to see if it was photocopy because it was a page long. And yeah, handwritten. So,
wow, I mean, that's a penance.
Yeah, well, they're not walking around, are they?
How many hours would they have had to have done? My God. Oh,
well, it was worth it. Worth it. Maybe I'll give you the email address and you could contact them and ask them these questions directly. They'd love to hear from you.
Wait for a flyer. Through the internet.
Flyer week.
I'll wait for my personalized letter. Thank you. all right. Well, I don't know what to do because we had 2 segue opportunities there. We did mention Holiday Dad, but we also mentioned Neighbor Mowing Wars.
Just finished the episode.
All right. Good night, everyone. Oh, we are not going to finish mid-sentence today. I'm getting determined.
Holiday Dad wants he's in there.
Let me steer it, Holiday Dad.
All right.
I'm gonna go to Rich because it might be shorter. Holiday Dad might take a bit of time. So
yeah. Rich. So basically, I arrived home from work yesterday. and I we kind of go in through the garage door and then kind of come out the front. So I came out the front to grab something. I looked out and I noticed that the lawn next door had been mown again. This is only after the previous mow was only a couple of days previous, I think probably 4 or 5 days previous. And it actually impeded into my lawn where the crossover. He's impeded the crossover line. They're not just like kind of unintentionally. There was a fair bit of it's a good crossover. Like it's touched my fence. Like
it's a dead set overmow.
It's an overmow. It's an overmow.
Not in the sense of overmow that we said last week last time of mowing too much. It's an overmow as in he's mown over into your yard.
Absolutely. I think both ways.
It
goes too deep and too much and too far over. So it felt like a bit of a declaration of war. It felt to me a look at what I've done, look at my lawn, and then look at yours. Far too far to be accidental. And I'll tell you what, there's actually movement. You can see that there's track lines. So he's gone in and then out and then back in again over the line. And then he hasn't kept it and there's not a straight line. He's kind of gone in and out. So there's a divot.
Priors?
Yeah. Well, I've only just met him a few weeks ago with all the COVID stuff and everything going on. And he's kind of on the corner, so his house faces the other way. So I'm facing one direction, he's facing out the other way. And he seemed like a really lovely bloke. And now I'm just not
sure. You ever see him walk? Does he walk in a straight line?
Three steps and then go back two steps?
Maybe one leg, leg longer than the other. And he just kind of
I'm living next door to Jeremy Beadle. It's all good.
Yeah. I was going to say that animated cat from the Paula Abdul. Music clip.
Wow. They're two great references. Cut. Well done, everyone.
Deep cuts.
Dads will get it.
So anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do. Look, fair enough. Like my lawn's been 2 weeks now since I've had a chance to get out there. But it's not ridiculous. Like, fair enough. I think the clover's probably the problem. So I think that there's been a good bit of advice there from Wiggins was to get out there and give it a bit of spray, a bit of weed and feed, I think might be my ticket. And let it grow, not mow.
Let's not get into general lawn care. We're just talking about shitty neighbours right now.
Sorry.
What do we do about these shitty neighbours? Like, obviously, Anyway, maybe that's a question we can put to the audience for next time.
Is it unintentional? Like, am I reading too much into this?
Well, there's lawn sensitivities to be expected.
That's right.
I think there needs to be some, you need to be aware, or at least have someone in the family be aware of the next time he's actually mowing and just get out the front, with a beer and, just watch him mow. Just watch him mow his entire lawn and see what happens. See if he does the crossover again.
Okay. But if he's waiting for Rich to be at work to mow, by the sounds of things.
Well, as I say, it's been twice in 10 days.
Does this bugger not have a job?
Yeah, he's old. He's retired.
A line marker?
No, this is it. Like, it's a very fluid demarcation between the properties. As I say, it's only there's a front fence, so running perpendicular to the property boundary. And he's kind of cut across into that a bit, like kind of pushed himself along my fence a bit, in a bit of a jagged motion. So you can just see, as I say, there's no smoothness. He hasn't kind of done like a smooth line running out or anything like that. I've gone too far over. He's gouged a couple of times. So I've got these big gouges and then gone back and fixed everything up. And you can see that
he's annexing part of your lawn.
Yeah.
Wow, you're checking his work here.
He's Putin squatting in Crimea.
Yeah.
He's probably saying it. That's right.
Yeah. I got a lawn-related question. I was on a walk the other day with my young family, and we saw
in other people's bins.
Shit in people's
bins. Mate, I brought my own shit, put it in other people's
bins. Just ripping the baby's nappy off and throwing it in someone's bin.
Yeah, exactly. Hold her over
smear
a bin.
It on the outside.
How you like that?
Holding her over a bin.
It is beautiful. Lovely jacaranda season.
Isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it
beautiful?
And I saw a man so proud of his lawn. He was out there picking jacaranda flowers, beautiful purple flowers off his lawn, almost as they fell. The guy was out there like putting them in a bag, and my wife and I were watching like literally flowers falling and the guy walking to other bits. Is that like, I thought that makes your lawn look good. I thought that's a nice look for a little bit.
Yeah, but maybe he was about to mow and didn't want to send a shower of purple particles in all directions or something. I don't know.
Having lived with a jacaranda in my front yard for most of my formative years, hashtag fuck jacarandas. That's all I can say.
You are an influencer, so you can get that going if you wanted to. You could get some traction on that.
I'm on the other side there, Wiggins. I had one in the backyard. Maybe it's front yard versus backyard, but I love the jacaranda.
Mm.
Why fuck jacarandas? What is it? Is it the beautiful colours that upset you?
Didn't you just crush them up and like smear the jacaranda juice into your sister's hair and all that stuff? That's what we used to do.
It would drop on the cars. It would drop on the it would create a very slippery surface on the driveway.
Right. Front yard versus backyard. There you go.
Arse over tit gear. You
sound like real first world jacaranda problems.
Yes. Thank God you don't live somewhere where it snows, man.
First world front yard jacaranda problems.
All right. So
I'll finish it there.
It looks magnificent.
No, I understand. So here I'm talking to the theoretical listener who engages with us. You got a couple of things to send us through there. Thoughts on Rich's course of action with his front yard and Wigo's jacaranda hatred. Valid or no?
Thumbs up, thumbs down, jacarandas.
Now, but Wigo, you've been holiday dad and
what jacarandas? Sorry.
will remember that Monty did ask the question. He's got a holiday coming up saying, can you, what's it like being a holiday dad? Mm. And we broke the bad news that his daughter's too young, so he doesn't get to be a holiday dad.
That's true. It's upsetting.
Correct.
But Ben, you went away with some extended family, which meant that maybe, you know, a decent percentage of the time you could have been holiday dad because responsibilities might have been shared around a little. Is that the case?
That is, look, Stu, you're spot on there. But because there were so many children, so we had the age range was from.
You just end up looking after someone else's.
Well, there always end up being children around. Mm. So we went from a 5-month-old up to a 15-year-old away with us. And so there's a pretty big, there's a lot of children all the time in and around, and the weather wasn't great. So there was also a little bit of the weather wasn't great. The internet connection at the holiday park was poor. So when the weather wasn't great, all I heard was the kids whinging about how bad the internet was. But then there was always that rush of as soon as a bit of sunlight came out, everyone in the park would come out of wherever they were and everyone would be in the pool and everyone would be on the water slide. So it was all, there was quite a little bit of stress, even though we were on holidays. So I think I need a little bit of that holiday nostalgia to come back so that I can really appreciate how good a 10 days it was. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I had a bit of an upset tummy. And I probably drank a bit too much in the first 2 or 3 days, which really sort of set me off. And this is what I wanted to talk to you guys about. I don't think I did a really good shit for 7 days.
Okay.
Right? While I was away.
Just wait. Hang on. Just look at the run sheet. Dad shits doesn't look like it's on here, but look, we'll cram it in.
Now, listen, I think that it actually has something to do with being on holidays.
Oh.
Right? So I didn't eat very well.
Shy holiday turds, or do you think it's the diet when you're on holidays?
I think it was some home ground advantage because I came home and I've had 3 of the best turds that I've had.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you can hold hands with all of your family members in the one bathroom.
That's exactly right. Now,
that's your body subconsciously wanting you to get value for money out of all the money you've spent in your toilet, though.
that's exactly right.
This has never been a problem for me before. Like, I've never.
Is it possible, though, you got in your own head after like 3 days?
And no, because I wasn't thinking. The only reason it came up was because when I got home, I was like, hang on a second, I'm back. And then I thought, well, why has my shit been so shitty for the last 7 days? And then all of a sudden I'm back at home and I'm, you know, Randy Marshing it.
Right.
So
do you want to throw an example of a couple of meals at us?
Oh,
I was going to say.
Take us through your daily diet.
Burritos.
No. Look, there was a lot of air fryer work.
Okay. So, it wasn't much in the way of afternoon snacking, because I find that that's my holiday go-to, and that can be pretty detrimental. Lots of cheese and crackers stuff like that. I wouldn't normally.
The nail on the head.
Yeah. More pate, Wiggins. Have some more pate.
Yeah. I don't eat pate. I did get introduced to quince paste, which
crumbly.
Yeah.
Would you like a gout platter, everyone?
So that was it. There was a lot of meats, a lot of crackers, and a vast array of craft beer early in the afternoon. So, you know, around about that sort of 3 o'clock mark, out would come the cheese platters and it'd be on, and then we wouldn't eat till, you know, 8, 9 o'clock.
And, are you eating cheese platters most afternoons? Because I think we've probably solved the mystery.
I don't eat some rich craft beer
in a cheese platter?
I don't eat a lot of cheese, right? But I do eat a lot of crackers and meat. So I think we probably have gotten to the bottom of it.
Okay.
But the strange thing was, mate, one day without meat and crackers and I'm back to normal. That just seemed a little bit out of the ordinary.
I think I just found the promo grab. Anyway.
So Monty, take care of yourself while you're on your holiday, all right?
That's I was about
no
to
cheese.
You describe what I'll be doing, though. So
I was going to say, you've got to enjoy that. It's all part of the holiday. That's
Here's a question, Monty. How many days are you going for, Monty? Because 10 days is really pushing it.
Yeah, I'm not going for 10 days. That's ridiculous. I'm going for like 2 days.
Oh, well, that's fine. Eat cheese away. Yeah.
Go for bro.
Cheese away.
Yeah, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
A cup of pate in the afternoon. To wash down my craft beer.
Don't try and get 10 days worth of meat and crackers into those 2 days.
I think on that, though, the happy hour is a very
good time. It's a great time.
But I think from a parenting perspective, because it's a time where you don't have to, you're not sitting down at a meal. I find mealtimes are most stressful when you're on holidays, especially when you're out in restaurants or with other family members and stuff like that. Even, you know, trying to look after my kids and seeing how other kids are carrying on and stuff, that gets me going. So I find that the happy hour time, though, I can sit and relax, enjoy a beer, have something to eat, and the kids can kind of run amok a bit, and it's not a big deal. There's not that pressure that you get at a formal meal, but that's just my 2 cents. So that's why I'd say definitely don't get rid of the happy hour.
So words of advice when going with other families, there can tend to be a bit of dinner time pressure.
Mm-hmm.
When all of a sudden one family goes, all right, we're going to have dinner. And then it's like, oh my God, there's like four families that then go, oh my God, we've got to go and sort out dinner. It's like there's a race on. And that becomes quite stressful. But to give you guys an idea of, one of the dad things that happened on holidays, we have a little tradition where someone's basically in charge of happy hour for the week that we're away, right? And they have to basically do something at some time in the afternoon.
So it's just rotated, you mean, or one person's in charge for the entire time you're away?
One person is in charge for the entire week.
Oh, shit.
Now,
that's pressure.
Well, it is. There is a lot of pressure. So it's not for the entire day. You don't have to plan out everything for the holiday, but you do have to have happy hour or what's become Happy Hour, because last year when we went away, my brother-in-law Clint basically bought in Happy Hour. So he would play a specific song between the hour, you know, between sort of 3:30 and 4:30. And as soon as you heard that song played, you had to come out with a drink into the common area. And that's when Happy Hour would start, right? That's all he did. Yeah. That's how it came about. This year, we all got together at 4:00 and we did a quiz. Now, Is that not the daddest thing to do?
Pretty dad. I like it.
Bro, I do a quiz with my family every Sunday. I fucking love it. I host quizzes at pubs. I'm like, I'm quizzes.
Oh, really?
He's one of those dudes.
Nice. Love that shit, son. Love that shit.
Hey, we have a family quiz WhatsApp group. Ooh. Where we have we've got family group in Queensland. We have a family group in Byron Bay. We have a family group in South New South Wales and a couple around the coast. And we all do the Sydney Morning Herald Saturday quiz and the 10-question.
Yeah, we did that during lockdown as well. That was our big thing with all the family members. We saw more of our family members than we did in any other stage.
Yeah.
We do it Sundays on Zoom too, and we do it with a Canadian participant and an American participant.
Yeah, we had good internationals in. Yeah.
Unreal. Good work, Dad. Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
That's the quiz. How good is the quiz? The quiz in the last 18 months has really come to fruition.
It's good to find these organic dad through lines, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good kind of competitiveness, but kind of coming together. It's a great way to kind of show people, I know shit, but also we're here doing this together.
Did you guys have your dads kind of caning you at Trivial Pursuit when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah.
I pretty much memorized Trivial Pursuit by the time I was 9, I think. It was a bit sad. I still have to, even playing it now, I still have to clarify, whether we're talking about Soviet era questions, especially when they're talking about who won the gymnastics at the 1984 Olympics, inevitably. Well, she was actually a Russian nowadays, but back then she would have been part of the USSR.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. I'm going to move on now. Matt, you just threw 3 words at us for a topic. Post-COVID happiness. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I post-lockdown, we were in lockdown much shorter than many of you gentlemen. Yeah.
Is this relating to big COVID at all?
It might be. Well, let's find out. Maybe I'm sticking it to big COVID here. We went over to some friends' house last week. It's really the first time we've been to anyone's house for a couple of drinks. And again, the kids all get on well, so it's pretty delightful. We never really see them. And we just were having a great time. And then beautiful weather. I had a couple of beers, late afternoon. And they were like, come and have a look at the garden. I was like, sure. Mm. This is prime dad style, walking around the garden, having a look at all the plants. And then we were about to leave the garden. And then our lovely friend Hannah was like, Pete, you've got to condition the compost. And I was like, what? What's that? She was like, you get some conditioner and put it in the actual compost. I'm like, everyone just stop, turn around, show me exactly what you mean. So they're like, all right. And so they had 2 separate composts. One's organic, like scrap food waste, and the other one was like dirt and mulch and that kind of stuff that they have. And you can buy a conditioner for it. You sprinkle it on your compost and then rinse it in. And he was taking me through the whole process of how it works. And I just stopped him and said, can I just point out, I'm having a beer. It's a beautiful sunny afternoon. I think this is the happiest I've been in like 3 months.
Thank you, mulch.
And they kind of looked at me at first, putting conditioner in mulch.
Is the conditioner like a probiotic type thing or something? Is that the deal? Like cool.
Yeah, it's a probiotic for the mulch. But I was just like, the weather's perfect. I'm having a beer. I'm talking
enough
to people
about,
that
enough about your
my
perfect
family.
Afternoon. I want to know more about the mulch conditioner.
They thought I was taking the piss. That was their first response. And I was like, no, I want to know more about the conditioner for your mulch. And so
there is a great deal of joy that comes with getting a good compost going.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time. This is the thing. It's a mark of true, I suppose, persistence to be able to get one going, which is consistent. You've turned it. It's going well. Like, you know, it's a great achievement.
So you put it in the mulch first, and then you use it around the base of like whatever plants or something like that. So you've got to give it some time. It's I was like stunned that there was a product on the market. I was just fascinated by the process of it all. And it just was like, oh, how good is being in someone's garden?
Literally, what is
listening it? Listening to conditioning mulch. Oh, literally, what is it?
Is it does it look like hair conditioner? What is it?
Right.
I've got you standing over this compost with some Celsin Blue 5, giving it a squirt.
Yeah. No, it's like a powder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it might, when you put the hose on it, it might be more of a... It might turn into more of a hair.
Gets up a bit of a lather.
Yeah, lather it in there and you use your hands to get in there. But no, it just soaks into it and enriches it, I guess, conditioner does for your hair.
So, I guess. And then the mulch seam just kind of feels that it's worth it.
Nice. Yeah. And then, you know, people walk past and turn around and go, ooh, you know, catches their eye, swishes it about, swishes the mulch around.
Yeah, gust of wind. Yeah. You get a smell of the mulch.
Yeah. So I would recommend getting yourself some soil conditioner and you can get, I think that's called Magic Mulch was what they had.
Okay.
Sometimes called Soil Improver. But it's just great. I was like, this is just like a moment of like, how good's hanging out with people that aren't your family after 3 months?
Is this story about mulch conditioner or happiness?
Yeah, well, it's...
Well, are they mutually exclusive?
No, they're not mutually exclusive, no.
No, obviously mutually inclusive.
There's a lot for you to take, a lot dad lesson-wise from this, Monty.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the happiness comes from... I recommend go to some... If someone's got a product that they're keen on and they're passionate about in the garden, that's a real dad thing. Tell me something you're passionate about in your garden while I'm drinking a beer... equals happiness.
Oh, yeah.
You want to make it a mathematical equation.
Well, yeah, and, you know, if you want to throw in a pinch of dadness, real solid dadness in there, then that's good.
Well, can we just say backyard plus passion plus beer? Is that the equation?
Yeah. Equals happiness?
Equals happiness?
Yeah.
Is that the dad commandment? That feels like...
I'd say so.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Because there's nothing better than being in the backyard and having a beer and sharing someone else's passion. It sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than slipping over bits of jacaranda on your front yard.
Bloody oath. Get out of get away from your front yard.
Yeah, and being Czechoslovakia lawn and just being overrun.
Just the student land in my front garden.
Look, we've got 4 minutes left, so it's probably the right time of the episode to ask whether there was any more flotation tank chat. Third segment of flotation tank. Was there more to say?
There wasn't much really. It's sort of just. Again, I highly recommend it. Justine's done it since we last spoke. She went in again, and she said, "What was the odd thing?" She said,
Sorry.
She Molly was calling Ringwald, on, or? Is that what you're about to say?
I was trying to think of someone else obscure.
She was Molly Ringwald in Pretty Pink.
I'm going to say Rebecca De Mornay. What happened to Rebecca De Mornay?
That is it now.
The hand that rocks the cradle free.
And what's it like to have such a delicious last name?
There we go.
That's good.
Okay.
Oh no, she has almost like flying moments when I'm talking about my wife, not Rebecca De Mornay.
You don't know that. You can't say that.
I don't know that. I don't know that. I can't qualify that. But yeah, Justine, she sort of gets like flying sensations from the flotation tank in the dark. That
kind of the dreamy flying sensation things. Is that the
She's sort of flying over landscapes and things like that more than more than anything else.
On listening back to the last time we talked about it, I asked you how much it cost, and you seemed to duck the question.
No, I think someone jumped in with more a question more about weirdness. So,
on this show?
I think it was, yeah, so jumped in there. It's about, depending on where you go, it's like $60 to $70.
For an hour?
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
You have to be super alone. Yeah.
Being alone and float and get to be one of the greatest 80s action heroes. Sounds pretty good.
All right. Well, there endeth the 3-part flotation tank chronicles. Gentlemen, we're going to finish an episode before we get cut off. Good night to you all, and thanks for listening, everybody out there. Farewell.
Ta-ta.
Love you all.
Bye.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.